Exodus chapter 3. Really neat passage of scripture right here. Wonderful that the Lord has given that to us. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God?
Amen.
If I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I only put scriptures on the screen because that's what matters.
Yep.
Not pastor's opinion or yours.
Right.
We need to know what God says. Okay? Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read several of these verses, starting in verse 1. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. It's written down for us here. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. Anybody ever do any mundane day-to-day things? We normally call it a job. Or if you're a teenager, maybe at school. Moses was just doing what he did. He was tending the flock. He was a shepherd. He was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, tending that flock. He says he led the flock far into the wilderness. Maybe they were looking for food or water. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Verse 2. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Oh man, it's getting good. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Can you imagine? So, are you picturing this? Moses is tending sheep. He's tending the flock. He's, I don't know. Maybe he finds things on the ground. And maybe I don't know if they had those sweet gum trees, but you know those sweet gum balls? Maybe he took his staff and tried to do one of those. I know there's a few golfers in the room. Maybe it was just extremely boring. Maybe he was praying. Maybe he was seeking the Lord. Maybe he was worshiping God and giving him praise. But regardless of what exactly was going on, while he was doing his day-to-day job, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Deep into the wilderness. And God appeared to him in fire. Appearing to burn up a bush, but the bush wasn't burning up. It was just simply on fire. Moses stared in amazement, and wouldn't you? Sat there and watched it for 10 minutes and it's still the same size. You'd have thought that it would have, you know, gone down in size. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. He said to himself, this is amazing. You know, we tend to have the tendency to think that those goosebumps in a service are the whole entire point, but they're not. This was only to get Moses' attention. God wanted to do something bigger. God wanted to do something deeper in and through him. I'm not opposed to the goosebumps. Okay, some call them Holy Ghost goosebumps. I think it's great, but that's not the whole end. That's not the end of it. That's not the entire point. The entire point is for heart change, life change, and impacting somebody else. And representing, living a life that represents Jesus, right?
Yes.
That would be the point. Look at what God did with Moses. He drew him close and equipped him and gave him a message, which we're going to look at in a moment, so that he could do something for God. All right? Let's look at verse 3. There it says, this is amazing. Moses said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? And naturally, the curious people that we are, right? I'm going to go check that out. And so he goes that direction, right? So the bush is burning up. That's amazing. I've been watching that for like 10 minutes and it's still the same size. It's the flame is the same size, but the bush is the same size. Why is that not burning up? I've got to go closer and check it out. Naturally. But what happens on the way? When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. If God says your name twice, you better start listening. If he uses your middle name, you might need to hide. Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses replied. That's the only response when Moses called, when the Lord calls your name. Sorry. Lord, here I am. I'm right here. Samuel said the same thing when he was a boy. Well, I'm not old enough for God to use me yet. No, that's not true. God used Samuel at an early age. God was with Moses at an early age. Here I am, Lord. I hear you speaking. What do you want to say to me today? You know what? Let that be the attitude of our heart each day. Well, what do you want to speak to me? What do you want to speak to my heart? Today you're here. And that's likely one of the reasons that you're here is because you want to hear from God. You want to give God opportunity to do that. But you know what? He doesn't just move here in these services. God wants to move. Moses was tending sheep. He was out by himself. There was no great worship group. There was no great preacher. It was the Lord and some sheep and Moses in a bush. Maybe a bunch of bushes. I don't know what it was like. But God moved in that and moved in a big way. Verse 5, he says, whoa, that's close enough. Don't come any closer. The Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Yeah. We've sang that song before. Many of you are familiar with it. God wanted him to take his sandals off. And God didn't, it wasn't that God didn't want Moses to come closer, but God was teaching Moses a really wonderful lesson. In this simple thing right here. He said, that's close enough right there. Whoa. Take off your sandals, Moses, for where you're standing is holy ground. God was saying, hey, I'm the Lord. And you need to always remember that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, let's be honest, we will shoot up prayers kind of flippantly, won't we? I think it's very, very healthy for us to come to the Lord with reverence and humility. I think that we need to do that. And that is one of the things that God was trying to teach Moses through this simple act right here. That's close enough, Moses. Stop right there. Now, somebody's important is here. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Didn't want any more part of man that was necessary. Okay? And so let our hearts be laid bare before the Lord. We can bring all kinds of stuff, but God wants us. He doesn't want how loud we can sing or how long we can sing or how much money we can give. He wants your heart. Out when he has your heart, those other things will probably come. Right? And so let's give him that. Let's give him our hearts. But God was trying to teach Moses that he was holy. With this lesson right here. He's teaching Moses a wonderful, valuable lesson that would end up lasting Moses his lifetime. Moses would go on to God would give Moses the law later on down the road, and that word holy was all throughout that law. You know, that reminds me of the holiness of God. We see that account throughout the scriptures, in particular Isaiah chapter 6. Moses is commissioning. There were angels in this vision that he saw, and those angels cried out to the Lord, holy, holy, holy. same or similarly in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, the angels worshiped the Lord and they said the same thing. The holiness of God is throughout the Scripture. And we do well to come to the Lord that way with reverence and understand that He is the holy God.
Amen.
That we serve. I try to practice. Look at Jesus' example when He was asked, "Teach us how to pray, Lord," by His disciples. "Lord, teach us how to pray." And how did Jesus start that out? He said, "Our Father, hallowed be Your name. You're high above. Let us come with reverence." That was the pattern that Jesus was throwing out there. And really, it goes in line with this. Hey, make sure you understand who you're coming before. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there are not going to be times where you're going to need to shoot up a quick prayer, and you're not going to have time to go through all of those things. But let's all the rest of the time, let's come with reverence. Not that we wouldn't be coming with reverence there, because then the track record would be that you honor the Lord and you come in humility, right? But at the same time, the author of Hebrews says that we can come boldly before His throne of grace. We can come boldly and believe God that we're there before Him because of the blood of Jesus, right?
Amen.
So I practice, I try to practice when I come to the Lord, before I ever start bringing those requests, I praise, I worship, I remind myself of who He is. I don't think He needs reminded. But I'm saying, "Lord, You're awesome, You're great." One of my prayers lately has been, "Lord, You're my hope. You are my hope, and You're my strength."
Yeah.
He's our hope and strength. And so, don't come any closer there, Moses. That's far enough, buddy. Take your sandals off. You know what? If you need to do that, if you feel the Lord speaks to you to do that in any of our services or whatever, then you should do that. I have done that before. It really just boils down to what the Lord's speaking to your heart. We want to come close to Him, don't we? I want to be close. And again, I don't think that God was saying that's close enough. I think what He was saying, when He was really just trying to teach him a valuable life lesson in this. But I think that the Lord, matter of fact, I believe that the Lord wants us, I think that there are times He wants us to be able to put our ear against His chest. Does God the Father have a chest? I don't know. But I think He wants us to be able to put our ear against His chest and even listen to what His heart beats for. So I think that I believe that He wants us to be that kind of close. But here we have, He says, that's enough right there, Moses. Again, hey, you're in the presence of somebody important. You're in the presence of deity.
Yeah.
And so Moses recognized that. But you see, it may have been God needed to do that because Moses was just checking out some fire. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not just fire. Whoa. No, this is the Lord. Verse 6. Okay, again, he says, Moses. He replied, "Here I am. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals." Verse 6 here. "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Hallelujah. When Moses heard this, see again, it was just a fire up to that point. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Can you imagine? He's tending sheep, remember? He's just doing his day-to-day job. He's doing what he's required to do so that he takes care of his family. And in the midst of that, God ambushes him in a great, wonderful way. And then he goes up and he sees this bush on fire, and he goes up, and then guess what? It's the Lord. "Hey, I'm God. I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Oh, dear. "If I look at God, I'll die."
Yeah.
So he covers his face to preserve his life. Because he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. You know that God sees and hears everything, don't you?
Yes, yes.
God is aware of what you're going through. He's aware of the suffering that you're walking through. Or it might feel like you're crawling through it and barely doing that. He's aware. He knows. He hears. He sees all that is happening on the earth, and especially to His people.
Yes.
Of course, God knows what's going on in the lives of His people there in Egypt. He's also fully aware of what's going on in your life right now. He is aware of what oppresses you.
Yes.
He knows what makes you smile. He also knows what makes you angry.
Yep.
He knows the thoughts and meditations of our heart and mind. He knows of your suffering. And like this circumstance, God deploys, He's in the process of deploying Moses to go and deliver. So I questioned, as I was preparing for this, I'm wondering, okay, God, how is it, what are you going to deploy? Who are you going to deploy? What ways are you going to deploy deliverance of your people? Well, part of that's already been done. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
He has the power to break those chains. He has the power to deliver. And others of you, that's if you don't know Christ. Others of you who do know Christ and you're still going through stuff, listen, He may not remove that from you altogether.
True.
Sorry. I don't get to make the rules. I'd probably do an awful job if I had God's job. He may not take it away completely because He's trying to do something wonderful in your life.
Amen.
You see, we have some misunderstandings where we think that those sufferings, those difficult things, those tough things, those painful things, we think that they're of the enemy and that they need to go away completely, but God uses them in our life. Doesn't He?
Yes.
Because in those times, then we guess what we end up doing? We end up relying more on Him. We lean more on Him when we can't do it, when there isn't a way out. Except that there is a way out. That's all we need to do. We just need to keep leaning on Him. We need to keep going to Him. Okay, God, you're my source. You're my hope. You're my strength. It's not my strength. My hope's not in this world, but it's in You. And He'll be with you. And I believe that He wants to strengthen you today in the suffering. And or deploy someone to pray with you, to share with you, to encourage you, or otherwise. Verse 8. God says, so I have come down to rescue them.
Woo-hoo.
I have come down to rescue them. And in reality, that's what Jesus did, wasn't it?
Amen.
He came down from heaven to rescue us from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Have you ever noticed God's in the business of rescuing people?
Amen.
The church, the whole entire church around the globe, they've been rescued from sin and death, rescued from hell. We're on our way there. But Jesus rescues us. Hallelujah. You know, this land that He speaks of here to Moses, it's a type and a shadow. It represents, Egypt represents the sin in our life. God wants to call you out of that sinful life, out of that oppression, out of that life, into this other new life. And here, Moses, it's interesting, Moses mentions this land that He's going to give to them. And he'd already promised it to Abraham, their ancestor. And so this land is a land that is going to be given to them. It's a land that they're going towards. They're going to be heading toward that as soon as God delivers them from Egypt. Then they're going to be on their way to that land. And you, many of you have already read the book. You know that it took them 40 years to get there, unfortunately, when it could have taken them a matter of weeks. Out of rebellion, they struggled with that in that time. And so it was a land that they were headed to. And that works and translates for you and I today, even though we're not the people of Israel. We weren't in Egypt physically, but we were in the life of sin, as we just finished up Galatians, talking about the sinful nature versus living for the Spirit. As we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, guess what? We know that the Scripture says that He's preparing a place for us in heaven. Isn't that incredible? A new land, if you will, and that is something that we look forward to. We refer to it oftentimes as the blessed hope. That's what we have to look forward to. Even though I think that there's plenty in this life to look forward to when you live for Jesus.
Yes.
Though there's stuff, crazy, immoral things all around us.
Yep.
Let's not take delight in those things. Instead, let us take delight in the Lord and look to Him and look toward that hope that we have in Him.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing is not really the land that's there or what He's prepared for us. To me, the best part of it is that He's going to be there. And that's going to be pretty incredible. Don't get your sights on the wrong things, okay? Verse 9. Look. God says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. I'm aware. I know what's going on. I know about it. And I've come to rescue them. Verse 10. Again, this is to Moses. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. I have a question for you. What is God sending you to do? What is God sending you to do? Well, Pastor, I'm not Moses. I didn't say you were. God's not confused about that either.
Sure.
But what is God sending you to do? You know what? There are some days just a simple smile is more than enough. You know something that makes my day? I realized it again a few days ago. When I'm driving, sometimes I'll get to thinking. But I love it. Somebody waved back at me. That makes my day. Just a couple fingers. So, off the steering wheel. I'm like, yes, Lord, they waved at me. I'm serious. I was so excited. So wave at people, because it might be Pastor Chad. Or smile at them. Ask them how they're doing. This is Moses commissioning. Now Moses, go. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Maybe God wants you to buy, at some point wants you to buy some groceries for somebody. Or It could be like a million different things. A million. And here's the thing, is it may not be the same thing every time. So let's just live by the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit directs us to do, let us do that. Maybe the Lord will say, hey, that person needs a ride. Give them a ride.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, I can do that. I can do that. Verse 11. But Moses protested. You see the humor there that I do?
Yeah.
But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Okay, that is a legitimate question normally, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's say that God is asking you to go to a king, a president, the top dog somewhere. the boss, the CEO of a company. God, who am I? Who am I to do that? But Moses grew up in that house. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house.
Yeah.
He was in the wilderness because he got ahead of God and he took a man's life. But here he's protesting. He's responding to God, hey, I don't know if you're exactly right on this. How well does that work for you? God, I don't know that you're right. I'm going to share a few. I wanted to... We're really good at coming up with excuses, aren't we?
Yeah.
But God, who am I to go before Pharaoh? And there could have probably been 3 to 12 more of them. And so anyway, I looked up a few excuses as to what... Now don't... Students... you can't use any of these at school, okay? I'm gonna email this to your teachers, and that way you can't use them. This is regarding turning your homework in. My brother's friend, who came to our house yesterday, said he could eat paper, and I didn't believe him. So he decided to show how much paper he could eat, and he grabbed my homework right out of my desk. I didn't see it, and that's why I wasn't able to turn my homework in today. Another one. My mom once said that she wanted my best homework framed. When I completed all the work yesterday, I said to her that it was the best because I did everything right, even the task for extra credit. Today, I couldn't find it, so I went to my mom. She said she had to have it framed because it was my best homework. I don't think that's going to work. Let's see here, another one. I didn't do my homework because I figured I'd do it tomorrow. Because I'll be older and therefore wiser. To be honest, I didn't do my homework because I know how heavy your current workload is and I didn't want to add to it. I thought that I could give you some more free time. All the teachers are probably rolling their eyes. Oh, goodness. I'll skip that last one. We're good at making up excuses. Moses said to God, hey, I don't know if you're... I'm probably not the best one for the job. I remember... Anybody ever heard of a guy named Reinhard Bonnke?
Oh, yeah.
I heard him. He was from Germany, missionary to Africa. And you know what? I may be wrong about that. It may not have been German. I'm sorry. I heard him speak a few times years ago, and God had asked him to do something big, and he said, God, but who am I to do that? There's probably way better people to ask to do that. And God said, you're right, and I already asked three of them, and you're the fourth one. They all said no. Okay, fine, I'll do it. Who am I, Lord, to do that? Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses for what God's asking you to do. Just do it. Just do it. Whatever it is He's asking you to do. Verse 12, God answered, I love this. I'll be with you. I'll be right there with you. I'll be right beside you. I'll be with you the whole time. Remember when you're learning how to ride a bicycle? Before you're really there, you know, you can't let either dad or mom, whoever's helping you, they cannot let go until you're confident enough, right? Dad, don't let go. I'll fall. I'm right here. But you're getting to going real fast. I can hardly keep up and help them get through. God's going to be there that whole time. Even if you fall, He's going to be there. I will be with you. And check this out. And this will be your sign that I am the one who has sent you. I love this. The sign to Moses was after it's all done. Look, he says, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this very mountain. You'll worship God on this very mountain. After it's all said and done, that'll be your sign that I was the one that said it. Interesting. So, it's super encouraging to know that God's with us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I find a lot of comfort in that. A lot of comfort that He's faithful, that He's the one that guides our steps. I trust Him to do that. And I trust Him to provide. I trust Him to do these things. And so it's wonderful. It's wonderful knowing that He's right there alongside of us. You know what? God may call you to be a shepherd. He may call you to be a carpenter. He may call you to be a president. But whatever He leads you to do, just do it.
Yes.
Just walk in His ways.
Yep.
He is wiser than we are. Verse 13. But Moses protested again. This one I think is pretty legitimate. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is His name? Then what should I tell them? Okay, so Moses, it appears, wanted to be prepared to lead. He wanted to have the right answer. That's a good thing. And he wanted to be prepared because he likely realized that he had at least two obstacles. Number one was influencing Pharaoh to let all his slaves go. And number two, Moses would have an obstacle in influencing the people, Israel, encouraging them to follow him out of Egypt. How is he going to get their attention? How is he going what was he going to be able to say that they would say, okay, maybe this guy's worth following? Moses knew the people would know the name of God El Shaddai that he had already revealed to Abraham. This question that he asked, you know, what should I tell them that your name is? This question would have been like Moses asking what new thing God had revealed. And in verse 14, God responds to Moses and he says, I am who I am. Or I am that I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. He's the great I am. And so what does that mean? Well, there's some question about it because it's very, very, the Hebrew word for I am is very close to the Hebrew word for Yahweh, the name of God, which we're going to look at here in a moment. Maybe it should also be written that instead of I am who I am, it should say I shall ever be the same that I am today. God's always the same. He doesn't change. Right. We know that. Hebrews tells us that. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right?
Amen.
What God was saying to Moses was that he wanted to be known as the God who is active and present in their lives. Because that word that he used there is a verb. Not just a name. It's a verb. God wanted to be known as active and present in their lives. In the people of Israel's lives. And in If we fast forward just a little bit, don't we see God being active and present? And Emily mentioned it earlier. God parted the waters. God parted the whole sea and made up two walls of water that people could walk through on dry land. Oh, that's God being active. That's God being present, isn't it? And then, I think before that and both after that, God appeared to them day after day in a cloud by day, and a fire by night,
right,
leading their way. God was being active and present. Oh, and then more than that, He provided water for them in the desert, provided manna from heaven, which we haven't even seen yet, have we? Mm-hmm. And then they got sick of manna, so they asked for quail, asked for some meat. God provided that. God was being active and present in the life. What has God done over your life? How has He shown Himself active and present in your life? How has He shown Himself to you? I'm certain there's probably many, many testimonies of things that God has done in our lives and through us. You know, Jesus used this phrase, the I am phrase as well. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, or before Abraham was, I am. And the people that he said that to could not fathom it because they even said, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? Because y'all don't get it. You know, they didn't get it. Jesus is like, wake up, I'm God. I'm the I am. By that statement, Jesus declared his pre-existence and his divinity. The I am statement sounds a lot like Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. Amen. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. Jesus, the God there was saying to Moses, he was saying a lot of things in that statement. So we're going to look at more of what God responds to Moses in verse 15. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. You see, it would not have meant very much if Moses would have went to the people, Israel, and he would have said, hey, the God of your fathers sent me to you. Anybody can say that, right? The God of your fathers. You don't have to know anything except that you probably worship somebody. The God of your fathers has sent me to you. No, he wanted something more specific than that. He wanted something that would catch their attention. He wanted something that would be personal and that they would understand. And so this name of Yahweh is oftentimes, sometimes it's translated Jehovah, but it's Yahweh. And in many translations, it's Lord, all capitals, but the O-R-D is smaller capitals. In case you're wondering, but this is the name that God showed Moses, and the name He wanted to be known by for all generations, the name of Yahweh. It refers to God as being continual and constant and eternal. He is self-existent. He doesn't need anything else to exist. He doesn't need us. He is powerful in and of Himself, and He's all powerful. We cannot say that. We need Him to exist, but God does not. And that's one of the things that God was saying to Moses, and then ultimately to the whole nation, that, hey, I'm the God who knows all things. I'm the God who's always been there and who's always going to be. Nobody can dethrone me. I'm always going to be steady and stable. I'm always going to be there for you. You can come to me. You hearing what I'm saying this morning? That's some of the stuff that God was saying to Moses. And so, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, has sent me to you. This morning, Emily's going to come and play something. I just want to apply this morning. Listen, we've got to learn to take time to apply the Word of God. That's why I opened up the altars. Okay. Listen, I'm not saying that you're ever going to see a burning bush that doesn't burn up. I've never seen one. Then again, I don't have to. I don't have to see that. But we can still come close to God. We can still experience God. We can come to an altar and say, God, who are you sending me to? What are you sending me to do? What's your calling on my life? What are you doing? Lord, I'm hungry for you. There's no one like you. Lord, I believe the word that was preached this morning that you are that eternal that eternal God who is self-existent. I believe I place my faith and trust in you and in your power, lead and guide my life. Or maybe there's something oppressing you. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's something else. And you can come up here and lay that before the Lord. He can meet you right here. So I'm gonna challenge you this morning. Let's step out. Let's apply the Word of God to our lives today. We're gonna seek Him for the next few moments. We're gonna worship. Go ahead, you can move out. Thank you, Lord.
Close to your side, heaven is real.
Yes, thank you.
Death is alive.
One unified word. Unified word to our lives today. Lord, let us not make excuses. Lord, let us not make any excuses. Lord, let's step out. reminded that God's people in this story represent the church. And God used his people to display his power and his glory to the world, and particularly to Egypt. Let's let God use us to show others who he is, and show them his power, and show them that he is a personal God, that he's greater than any other thing. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's wonderful. Lord, what wonderful things that we can learn through it. And Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've given to us. Now, Holy Spirit, would you just bring this home to us, Lord, in our heart of hearts. Help us to understand how great and mighty you really are. Help us to comprehend it, God. Help us to believe it. Lord, the New Testament tells us you can do more than we could ever ask or imagine that you could do. And so, God, we want to begin to walk in faith. And so thank you, Father. Use us. Warsaw Assembly of God, we're a small part of your large church. But God, use us. Use the entire church to proclaim and declare that you are God, to declare that you are the powerful one. And Lord, we just give you the praise. Use us in these ways. Lord, use us to lead others to Jesus. What a privilege it is to represent you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. But I ask you to go with each person. Thank you, God, for them. They are a blessing. And I ask, God, that you would continue to bless them, that you would smile down upon them, that you would encourage them, that you would give grace and give strength. Oh, Lord, be our hope. We love you. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. We're forever grateful, God. We look forward to being with you all the time one day. And we ask, God, that you would just be with our people this afternoon. I plead your blood over them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.